Robinson, who's in the slot.
Look in that direction on a slam. Huge hit. Ball picked off. The Volunteers of the Carroll make an interception. Jawan Mitchell. They call him Juju.
Discrepancy. Schuster, they were going to take a shot, but he's hit by Nelson. And Nebraska has picked up the football. Their first takeaway of the game.
Wells way down the field. It is into coverage. It is intercepted. It is over. LaMarion James has sealed the victory for Old Dominion. And fittingly, it comes on a takeaway.
Welcome back to Debbie Ivy Grind. I am Hollywood Titan. I'm joined by my co-host, Justice. What's going on, man?
Not much. Just watching Little League Baseball.
Yeah, yeah. I'm watching
next week we'll be football.
Do what?
Next week we'll be watching college football.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. It makes me want to call in work the whole week just to get ready. But nope, we're back this week. We told you we'd try to work these in real quick before the start of the season. We're back with the Pac-12 today, or what's officially left of the Pac-12, because after this year, it's not going to be the same. Of course, college football is not going to be the same after this year. So
that's true.
Question for you, and something that I've seen in a couple different places by a couple different sites, and it got me thinking, and maybe they're not wrong, but with all this realignment and stuff like that, TV deals and what have you, like I said, a couple different places have mentioned that, you know, the Pac-12 as it is this year probably going to be a good conference this year. I mean, they're going to have some good teams. Washington, Utah, Oregon's expected to be in there.
USC.
So
I think even Arizona from an offensive perspective is a good team. Defensively, I don't think so, but offensively they are.
They got the Jaden Rashada, right? Arizona then?
Arizona State got Rashada.
Arizona State, okay.
Arizona has Jaden Delora.
Gotcha. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that when I saw it, and I saw it a couple of different places this weekend, and I was like, man, you know, they might actually be right. The Pac-12 might actually have a really good group of teams this year. So, I expect Utah to – we kind of talked about it last week, or the last episode when we were talking about some games to watch with Florida and Utah, and that's games in Utah, so – even though they don't have their quarterback, that's going to be a tall task for Florida to go in there and knock them off. But like we were talking about the other teams, I think that conference is going to be strong this year. So I didn't know if you felt the same way or what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible that they can get a team. The conference is strong enough that if someone goes undefeated, that they'll be in the playoff. I think for sure. Yeah, like you said, Utah, Oregon, Washington, USC, they're all pretty strong. Oregon State's not a bad team. Arizona, like we said, from an offensive perspective, is not a bad team. I don't expect a lot from Stanford or Cal or Arizona State this year. But kind of outside of that, I think, you know, well, Colorado. Colorado is probably the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
UCLA, Washington State. UCLA is kind of rebuilding there on offense, right, with after losing Dorian Thompson-Robinson. So, and I think Washington State's – they're just kind of an okay team, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, be kind of excited to see them go because I have to admit I'm a huge, huge college football junkie. So, you know, usually late at night when I'm working on NFL stuff and winding down from the college football day, I'm a huge Pac-12 after dark guy, right? So
yeah.
I kind of wonder what happens after this year. I have to imagine ESPN and these other TV broadcasts, they're going to have to capitalize somehow on this pack, you know, this late night stuff from the West Coast.
Maybe it's more exposure for the Mountain West.
Very well could be. Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to lose all those games, but you're right. Like, some of those games will now be on the East Coast, so they won't be, you know, Pacific time, but you'll still have a handful when those teams are playing at home.
Right.
Maybe Hawaii can get a big deal when their their games don't start till frickin' midnight Eastern anyway. 11:59 Eastern start time.
You would be surprised at the Hawaii games that I've watched over the years, dating all the way back to Timmy Chang and those guys. Which back then, Timmy Chang in Hawaii was fun to watch, right?
Yeah,
throwing it for 12,000 yards or whatever it was, and not so much here as of late. They've not been so good, but be interesting to see what comes of that after this year.
Yeah, we get it. We get a preview next week, right, with them playing Vanderbilt.
Oh, first 1-6 may win that game.
Well, like I said, like we talked about in the last episode, Vanderbilt smoked them pretty good last year, made Mike Wright look like all pro.
I mean, I could get behind you making the case for Hawaii and Vanderbilt moving to Division II.
They're not that bad, man. They aren't that bad.
They're pretty rough.
And I think that I would argue that UMass and Florida International are worse for sure.
Hey, there you go. There's your 14 conference. Put those four with the four Pac-12 that's left, or the four Pac-12 that's left, and there's your conference right there.
Oh my gosh, that'd be rough.
Right. Let's see here. So we'll get started. Penn State will be out the services of defensive tackle Alonzo Ford Jr., a transfer from Old Dominion, who was out for the season due to an injury. Ford was expected to see time as a rotational player along the defensive line for the Nittany Lions, so a little bit of a blow to their front. Penn State's getting a lot of push, I've noticed, the last couple of weeks.
What I heard them, I think, is like, the games like Michigan or a team that's going to freaking, just want to run the ball constantly. That's where that depth's going to hurt. He wasn't a starter for him, but he certainly would have played as a rotational guy.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of publicity for a national championship run, I've been seeing. Of course, their defense is their strong point this year, right? Chop Robinson.
I think from a pure talent standpoint, they got the best defense in the country.
Yeah, they're going to have I'd say they are easily one of the top five, probably. Just right off the top of my head, early projection, but and they seemingly have a quarterback now. They lost Clifford from last year, but they have a pretty highly touted quarterback who James Franklin is pretty excited about, right? So
he's a big boy, too. He's like 250-plus.
Yeah, he's a big boy. So the hope is with this, now that they have their quarterback and they have such a good defense, they can make a run for the national championship.
But I mean, he's still got to go through. He doesn't have a lot of college experience.
Right.
So.
Right. But. Washington has suspended freshman defensive back Diesel Gordon indefinitely. When head coach Kalen DeBoer was asked about it, he said the issues were serious enough to warrant a suspension and that he didn't feel the freshman was being accountable. Gordon was a three-star recruit from Texas and was expected to provide depth for the Huskies' backfield this season. Smoke Bowie, by the way, LSU has re-entered the transfer portal too. So he went from Georgia, was it to Texas and then LSU, whatever. So who knows what's going on there? But yeah, that's not good for these guys if they're having trouble with the season starting here.
Yeah. Hard time adjusting to college, I guess. They're not big man on campus, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's who knows. You had put these notes in here, or this note in here as well. There's speculation that Apple may try to purchase ESPN from Disney. Disney purchased ESPN for $19 billion. Yes, billion with a B, in 96. That's 27 years ago, $19 billion. And the expectations are that it would sell for three times that currently, which would put it roughly
like 60,
50, 70, yeah, almost 60 million. So
billion.
Or yeah, billion. Yeah, billion. Sorry. Good move for Apple. I have
it's to a good move for Disney. Apple. I don't understand why Disney would ever sell it, but that, you know, that.
Well, maybe Disney feels like they can't do that product justice, right? Maybe they should.
Well, stick to movies Disney, I mean, I don't know. As big as they are, if they can't do it justice, then Apple's not going to do any better, I don't think. But
I was just kind of looking at it. I think if you can get three times what you paid for it, if you're Disney, I think you dump it and run, right? Let somebody else.
Well, if you're in financial trouble, sure. But I mean, otherwise, you're better off holding on to it. I think like ESPN's very well could be 40 to 50% of Disney's income, like, you know, revenues. So yeah, maybe you make $60 billion, but you're also dumping half your future revenues too. So I don't doubt that Apple would love to have ESPN, but I just don't quite see that or a reason why Disney would sell it. But
yeah,
the other concern I think would be more from a consumer perspective is if Apple does pay that much, then Apple's going to raise the rates to all the cable companies, or would they go the route of saying, oh, you got to buy Apple TV now?
That may be their play. Yeah.
Well, you know,
I can promise you whatever the decisions are made would be terrible. Yeah. Well, I can promise you, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm lagging, I think, but I can promise you whatever decisions is made by any party concerning this or anything else, it's driven by money. How much can we make? What can we do with it? So if Apple feels like they can make their money back and then some, you know, I think maybe they, because they've already tried to get into the NFL game. So maybe this is their way of trying to not monopolize, but trying to get a bigger hefty share of the overall sport. And then I had a couple of questions or notes here. There's been a lot of talk about it. We've talked about them at length with their off the field issues. And I don't think we've really discussed this. I mean, as far as me and you and Brock, is Georgia going to three-peat this year? I mean, that's pretty freaking hard to do.
It is.
It's definitely within
the realm of possibility. I don't see them. I mean, they don't have a hard schedule, right? So, assuming they get decent quarterback play, I think they're in the playoff. So that's like the first step, right?
Their hardest game, I think, is going to be Tennessee in November or whenever it is.
Right.
During the regular season.
Championship.
Yeah. And then, you know, whoever they face, probably Alabama or LSU, most likely, I would assume. I would say Alabama will come out of the West, but you never know. I think that would be their next.
Quarterback play is not that great either, looking like. So, yeah, it could be LSU.
And even if for some miracle they lost to Tennessee, well, See, I don't know.
I mean, just look who are the other contenders for it? Michigan, USC, Alabama.
Ohio State,
Oregon. But see, if you look at all those teams, so let's look at Alabama quarterback questions. Michigan, okay. They pretty much return what they need to return. The question is can they open up their offense enough to keep up with Georgia? I think that's probably the primary thing with Michigan. Ohio State breaking in a new quarterback. Who else? Oregon, they pretty much return everybody, but they got beat pretty good by Georgia last year.
Washington might be a player from out there. So.
Possibly. I mean, it's definitely within the realm of possibility. I'm sure from a betting perspective, they're probably the favorite, right? From an odds perspective, they're probably the favorite to win it.
They were the last time I looked, yeah. I can't remember what that number was exactly right off. But if Tennessee was to beat them, they would have to have Tennessee slip up somewhere. And that's very possible because we have to play Alabama, right? So, even if they were to lose to Tennessee or anybody else in the SEC during the season for one game, I don't think that knocks them out of winning the East.
No.
Yeah. And I don't know if they were to lose. Let's say Alabama makes it in deep and they're, 11-2. I don't know that keeps them out of the top four.
It just really, it depends, I think. It's iffy at that point.
It gets a lot muddier, but, if they're, and I keep using Tennessee for an example, but if Tennessee beats them, they lose, let's say, to Alabama in the championship game. You're 11-2, but your 11 wins, you're just pretty much dominating everybody else. Yeah, how's the committee going to look
at that? Who did you really play, too, right? Like,
yeah, well, that would be a major question.
Because at that point, it's very likely the only two ranked teams you played, you lost.
yeah. So we'll see. Maybe somebody will pull an upset on them. I'm not banking on that by any means, but we shall see. And then I found this one, and I was kind of shocked with this. Last year's average of 28.38 points a game, so basically almost 28.5 points a game, was the lowest in the FBS since 2011. I was kind of shocked with that, with the wide open offenses and the high scoring we've got nowadays. I just didn't see last year. I didn't notice that the scoring was that low. Did you?
No. No, but I would expect that's possible this year. It's even lower just because of the rule changes, with the way the clock doesn't stop after first downs anymore and all that sort of thing. That's going to result in less plays per game, which in theory should result in less scoring, I think. I don't think anyone's fully talked about that impact a lot or what that impact will be. I mean, I don't know, 5 to 8 plays a game less. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But you would think it would equal some less scoring.
Yeah. And, they asked Josh Heupel about it, right? My Vols, because he runs so many plays a game, high octane or whatever. And they asked him about it, and he said, well, that really doesn't affect us. He said, it doesn't matter if you're playing 90 plays a game or if you're playing 70 or 60 plays a game. He said, for us, we want to continue to have 20 more plays than the other team, which is, I think, roughly what they had last year.
Well, sure. I mean, and he'll still have that, right? But ultimately, less plays is less scoring.
Right, and his point was, if we're still 20 plays ahead of our opponent, then we're controlling the clock and doing what we want to do. So, as far as the first down rule, that was his take. But, yeah, if that's the case, then the scoring could could be down again, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't expect it to be, like, down, like, a lot, but maybe, you know, a little for sure.
Right. Before we get to our topic here.
Especially if you think about those ground and pound teams, right? Like, the, you know, the armies where they're just freaking running the ball every play. And before, at least when they got a first down, the clock was stopping. Now it ain't stopping anymore, so.
It'd be a lot of quicker games.
Yeah. Well, you say that. You say that. I don't think it results in. It does result in quicker games, but what I think that ultimately equals is more commercials, in my own opinion.
Right.
So, from a TV perspective, I don't think it's any less time. It's just you're going to see more freaking commercials.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we all want is more commercials.
Exactly.
We can't get enough of them.
Like you never realize how many commercials are in an NFL game until you actually go to an NFL game and you're like, holy crap. Like, you know, cause you're just sitting there. Yeah. It makes me never want to go watch an NFL game live anymore because it's just the flow just doesn't exist.
Right. Right. As we always do before we get to our topic, we have to thank our sponsors, Trophy Smack, for the nice, quality rings that they gave us. I have one right here. Nice heavy stuff. Well made. Looks good. This is their bling ring. If you could see that. Nice heavy quality stuff. Comes in a great package in a little box for you to keep it in so you can display it or whatever. But they are kind enough to donate rings to our listener league winners. So that's cool. But they have plaques and trophies and belts. The belts is the main thing. Man, those things are so bad. And they've got a little wall mount now that you can buy and display those up on your wall. They have stuff for losers now that I see, like parking tags, I'll suck it, fantasy football and all that stuff. So if you need something for your league champion or loser or anything. It doesn't have to be sports. They have all kinds of stuff. Go check them out. Use our link in the bio, IDP Nation, and you can get a discount there. We want to thank MFL. I actually talked to them yesterday to see if there was any new changes to put the Debbie bug in their ear once again. I promise you I'm not giving up on that. I'll try to plant that little bug every chance I get, but they are kind enough to comp us on our league fees for our listener league, so we appreciate that. Fantrax does our college league. They've upgraded their site a little bit. It looks a little cleaner. Still having some issues when it comes to the IDP side of things. I don't want to poke that bear. Justice has kind of lost some of his stuff to help him score, so I'm just going to leave that one be for now. And then Action 24/7 betting, locally owned 4 Tennesseans, 5 Tennesseans. So the season's just a few days away, you know, the official start. So if you want to bet on games, if you want to bet on conference champions, or if you even want to bet on who's going to win the whole thing, and if you think Georgia can three-peat, go over there, place your bet. Got all the same odds, just like the big boys, right? Looks good, all that good stuff. So use the promo code Hollywood100 there. And it, with all this, you can find these on our IDP Nation page under the sponsors tab. You can go there and click on these and get your discounts or whatever it is. And anytime you do that, you're helping us grow, right? So we appreciate that. So we'll move on to our five-star topic here. We're previewing the IDPs of the Pac-12 conference. Up first, sorry, my brain went blank. Up first is Arizona. Sorry about that. Up first is Arizona. And we have one name, and that's Justin Flo, linebacker who transferred from Oregon, who, man, at this point, I was as high on him as anybody, right? Coming out of high school, he looked to be the next big thing, the next super stud. Was going to Oregon, looked like he had a perfect path behind, was it Troy Dye or not Troy Dye?
Yeah, I think he's talking. I think Troy Dye.
It might have been Troy Dye. I can't remember, but he had the inside advantage to being the starter, and it just never materialized. He did have a good start, and he got injured. Right, I think he had like 10 or 12 tackles in one game. It got hurt and missed the rest of the season. It just never worked out. So now he's in Arizona.
Yeah, I was hopeful that like Dan Lanning going there from Georgia would have helped him last year, but. Yeah, and now he's transferring, so.
Yeah. Anybody else you like?
At Arizona? Not really. I mean, Flo's really the only one. I mean, I think, coming to Arizona, he should definitely start, right? And so that means opportunity. So he should rack up some tackles. Now, I don't know, the fact that he couldn't make it under Dan Lanning, I don't know what that – if that's going to, if that's a sign of things to come for his NFL future, right? I mean, I don't necessarily think that's a positive thing. But, I mean, I think at this point, guys that have held on to Flo this long, they're going to hold on to him. And, at least for 1 year, they should get some decent college production. That might be all they ever got out of him. But it's better than nothing, I guess.
Yes, it sure is. And that's the only one I really had for them. I know they've got some recruits coming in this year that can maybe help them next year, maybe help them this year, but I would look towards next year. So, we'll see. Kind of the same situation with, some of these other teams here. Arizona State, we have defensive end, BJ Green for them. They were horrible last year. I know we made fun of Vanderbilt and Hawaii, but if you go back and look at Arizona State last year, BJ Green was tied for the lead, team lead in sacks, right? 2.5. Their top and Merlin Robertson, the linebacker who's going to the NFL now, both of them had 2.5. They had 5-6 players with 2 sacks, 2.5. Not very good with the pass rush at all. So.
No. And they lost. They lost quite a bit on defense. They lost their 2 starting linebackers, right?
Yep.
I think
they lost more Norman Lott to Tennessee. He transferred their defense.
Nesta Jade Silvera is gone.
Yep.
Yeah. So they lost. Pretty sure Corey Bethley, who was a defensive back, is gone. So
Kyle Foley's gone, their top tackler.
Their defense is going to be worse this year, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's going to be horrible, right? And I don't know that their offense was much better. We may have to put them in that conference with Hawaii and Vanderbilt.
I mean, I think with the new head coach and all that, they will get things on track, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah, for sure. Up next is California. We have linebacker Jackson Sermon.
He was their leading tackle last year, 104 total tackles, 3.5 sacks. 4 pass breakups, 1 interception, 1 forced fumble, and he had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. 100 plus tackler. That's good college production. I don't know that he has. I haven't seen him mentioned as far as any NFL potential at all, but he certainly has at least one more year of good college production left. Looking for a college production, he could be a guy that could possibly be available in your leagues.
Yep, and they're going to have to find somebody to play safety because they lost
Scott
to the NFL. So, not sure who the next man up in that role is, but if they can find somebody, Scott produced 85 tackles last year and 3 interceptions, so 2 forced fumbles. So, if they can find somebody to play as good as he did in that role – then there's some production there. It's just figuring out exactly who that's going to be. I feel like we're running through these so fast. prime time, Colorado Buffalo. Obviously, the one that sticks out is Travis Hunter, right? Cornerback slash receiver. He's going to play both ways. He's going to be, I would expect, to be a three-phase player. He's probably going to return kicks and punts in certain situations. But I guess looking at this strictly from IDP perspective, what is your – first of all, if he's a corner, that kind of limits you unless you're in specific position leagues, right? But as a whole, what are you doing with Hunter? Are you –
Well, I think it really depends on your league, right? So, I mean, he's getting drafted even in offensive only leagues. Personally, I would never do that unless like it's like the last round, just because. I mean, my own opinion is I believe his NFL future is at cornerback, and so, you know, I just think, you know, at some point he's going to play a corner and. And that's it. But, you know, maybe he plays two ways for the next 2 years. I don't really know. I think if you're in a league with IDP, I think you need to understand how your league scores. I don't know this for a fact. I've never asked Fantrax, but other people have said that if you are using Fantrax for scoring, and like let's use Travis Hunter as an example. If you start him at cornerback, you're not getting the wide receiver points. And vice versa, if you start him at wide receiver, you're not getting any cornerback points that Fantrax would award him. I don't know if that's true or not. I've never went back and looked. It just seems kind of odd to me. I mean, I've had several people tell me that's what Fantrax has told them. But then you see a guy like, I don't know, trying to think of an edge guy. Let's use Dallas Turner as an example. And I don't know if this is true or not, but let's assume he has defensive end and linebacker eligibility. Well, you're getting all the points. It doesn't matter where he lines up. If he lines up as a defensive end, you know, you're getting all, or, you know, and you start him at linebacker, you're still getting all his points. So, I'm not quite sure why Fantrax, it's almost like this, where they kind of draw the line as offense and defense. Whereas like, you know, so let's say if you start the player on defense, you only get his defensive points. And if you start the player on offense, you only get his offensive points. But I've also heard the same thing about like kickers and punters. So like if you have a kicker that's also the punter, and if you're in a league that starts punters, for instance, you start him at punter, you're only getting his punting points. You're not getting his kicking points. So it just it seems like they draw a line, and then other cases they don't draw a line.
Yeah, and I'm not too familiar with their league customization as far as how you can.
I don't think you can change that as a commissioner.
Well, see, that was my question. Is that something that they're just doing for, like, basic leagues? Or can you go in like you can on MFL and actually set up scoring for a punter or kicker? Because on MFL, you can have an offensive player get defensive player points if you set it up that way.
Correct. I don't think
I just don't know if Fantrax allows that.
Well, see, they have groups. So they have, yeah, so that's the problem is they have it as group as offense and defense, and I think they use those group. I'm looking right now at a league that's IDP, and score positions differently. That's for position specific. I don't think so because they basically only have two groups, an offensive group and a defensive group.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like their customization for player scoring is not where it should be or what it needs to be. So if that's the case, then maybe that explains why you don't get to quote unquote double up on points or whatever. But, and that's why I like the NFL, right? I mean, I just like having that full control. I mean, if a player does something on the field that's worthy of scoring points, you ought to be able to get those points in your fantasy league. Now, I know not all fantasy leagues are set up that way, but that's just my personal preference. You know, if you're a cornerback and, you know, like, or a wide receiver like Tyreek Hill, and for some reason they put you back there for one play to return a punt and you take it to the house, well, you should get the points for that if you've got Tyreek Hill as a wide receiver. So, you know, it's, again, it's all about how you can customize and get set up with those kind of things. Looks like Justice had a technical difficulty, dropped off for just a second. Sorry for the thing here. We'll wait till he gets back. Anyway, while he's coming back, we'll look. Levante Bentley is another one, a linebacker for them. That should have a pretty good role this year. And then Trevor Woods, the safety for them, he's the one that I'm really keeping an eye on, right? 79 tackles last year, had the interception, 3 pass deflections. He's going to probably be their best player. He was their best player a year ago, and I don't see that that changes much. Now, I will say this is a whole new regime, a whole new outfit, the whole nine yards, right? But we were talking about Arizona State not having a lot of pressure. Well, look at what Colorado did as a team last year, right? Same boat. They were kind of even worse than Arizona State. They had one player with 2.5 sacks last year. So, that's where it has to start, right? You have to be able to rush up front, and you have to be able to cover on the back end. So, and we talked about it earlier. I think me and you and Brock talked about how little their defensive line looked in the spring game and some of the issues they may have. Trevor Woods may be an IDP star this year for them because he's going to be on the field a lot. And I don't know that they're going to be able to change that with some of the issues they have this year.
They're just so small.
Yeah.
Sorry, my internet went out for a second there. They're so small. They look like a high school team. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, they're
call them the Colorado Smurf City, I guess. I don't know.
right. Yeah, Dion, I think they're going
Dion
to be
can, Dion with his gray beard can be Papa Smurf.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a lot of issues up front on that defensive line this year, and it's going to cause them a lot of problems, right? So, but yeah, if I'm targeting somebody from Colorado, it's going to be Trevor Woods. excuse me. The Oregon Ducks. Ducks pull trucks, right? We have defensive end Brandon Dorlus, safety Evan Williams, who, correct me if I'm wrong, transferred from Fresno State.
Yep.
Corner Kyrie Jackson and defensive end Jordan Birch. For me, Evans is the one that stands out, right? Evan Williams is the one that stands out that's transferring over. So a huge player for Fresno State. I think
Kyrie Jackson was transferred too. He came over from Alabama. Birch too. Birch is a 5-star from South Carolina.
Yeah, and they were Dorlus was their second leading pass rusher with 2.5 sacks. DJ Johnson's gone now to the NFL. He led the team to 6, so he's gone. Noah Sewell's gone. Christian Gonzalez is gone. He was probably their best player, actually, on defense, right?
Yeah.
We talked about Justin Flo being gone as he transferred. They've got a lot of holes they got to fill. on defense this year. So we're going to see a lot of new names, I feel like.
Yeah, well, and they got DJU's brother coming in, Mateo.
Yes. Man, we have ran through these pretty quick. Oregon State linebacker Easton Macarenas. I hope I said that right.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him. I think that was one that you had put on there.
Well, they lost Omar Speets went to LSU. Macarenas has been there a while. I mean, I guess if I had to say maybe he'll be the one to kind of step in that role, perhaps. He only had 37 tackles last season, 2 sacks, one pass defense, interception. But I'm not sure who else they got that's going to step up in that role. Other than him, he's a junior this year. He's not an NFL player. He's pretty short, small guy, 5'11", 228. But he's probably someone like you might want to – I wouldn't roster him at this point. He's probably someone I'm going to put on like on a watch list and see if he's the guy that kind of steps into that Omar Speets role. Speets had 83 tackles last season, one pass defense. He was their lead tackler. I mean, I think that's kind of what you do with Easton there is – you know, look and see if he's the guy after the first couple weeks.
Right. We move on to Stanford. We have linebacker Gathan Bernadel and edge David Bailey.
I think Bernadel is someone you put, but I added Bailey. Yeah. I really like David Bailey. He was a freshman All-American. The only thing I don't like about David Bailey is he's really an edge. But Fantrax only gives him linebacker eligibility, which kind of almost renders him useless from a college production standpoint because he's just not going to get enough tackles where you're going to start him at a linebacker slot, you know. But I do think he has good NFL potential. And so from that standpoint, he is someone I think that should be rostered, but really, I think you're only rostering him from a Devy perspective because you're not likely starting him at linebacker. Maybe you use him as a fill-in every now and then when you need somebody, but you're not going to be starting an edge guy at linebacker every week if you expect to be competitive from an IDP perspective. But he does have pretty good Devy potential, so he definitely should be rostered. I mean, look at his stats from last season. He was a true freshman last year, and I know he made several freshman All-American teams. He had 46 total tackles, 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, which, you know, again, if he had defensive ineligibility, you're going to start him. But linebacker, those numbers aren't great, and so you're not likely to start him at linebacker. But definitely you're in a C2C league. He needs to be rostered just because of his Devy potential. If you're in a CFF-only league, yeah, he's not someone you're going to roster.
Right, and then I did add Gathan Bernadel. He is a transfer from Florida IU. If you look at last season, he was one of their better players. 103 tackles, 8 tackles for a loss, 1.5 sacks. So, you know, transferring to the Pac-12 to Stanford, he's going to have some opportunities as they lost a few players as well. So they're going to kind of rely on him to kind of hold the middle of that defense down, right? So if he can get you 100 tackles again, he's definitely worth putting on a watch list or having on your bench in case you lose somebody due to injury. I think he's a solid source of tackles for your team there. UCLA. And I think they've got more, for me, they have more pass rush upside players. Um, than they do anything else. But they've got Leiatu Latu, Grayson Murphy, and Gabriel Murphy. So they've got them all three listed at defensive end. I think definitely Latu is your starter. But I think
the other two Grayson rotate with each other. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Grayson is your main guy. I think Gabriel's the one that's a little less.
Yep, Gabriel only had 1.5 sacks last year. Grayson had five. Latu had 10.5.
Yeah, and he's your main guy, right? He's in Devy Leagues with NFL potential. He's the one you're targeting. Would like to see his tackle numbers a little higher. He only had 36 tackles. But he was pretty proficient, right? Or efficient, I mean. 12.5 for a loss, 10.5 sacks. So, would like to see that tackle number get up, but still, he's the guy that you're targeting there for sure. And then we have three linebackers: Darius
Mulisau.
You put these on here just to make me say I'm
in. I didn't add these other two. You put these other two names on
and here. Jake Hamilker.
Yeah, you added those last two. I didn't put those last two on there. So, I mean, my own opinion is Mulisau is probably the only guy to be owned this year. Oladejo, is not projected to be a starter. Maybe he will next year, and Mulisau moves on. But Mulisau was there. He was tied for the lead in tackles for last season with 91. He returns for his, I believe, his last year of college. He transferred last year. He came from Hawaii. He also had a sack, two pass defenses, two interceptions, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. From a tackle perspective, you know, the kid produces. He's not the biggest kid in the world, 6'1", 230. So there's probably not, you know, a much NFL potential for him. But for CFF production, you know, 91 tackles is certainly solid, and he should be rostered in leagues that are counting tackles for sure.
He's a 100 tackle guy. I mean,
yeah.
Going back to Hawaii, 2020, 102, 2021, 108, and then last year he led UCLA with 91. So he's gonna be right at that 100 tackle mark, which that's what you're shooting for, right? If you're playing IDP and fantasy. In Davy, especially, you want those tackles. So I would like to see him be back to the 2021 version. 108 tackles, 14 for a loss, and 7 sacks. So if you can get that out of him.
That was at Hawaii, though, right? A lot less talent. He's, you know, he's moving to kind of like we talked about last episode with AJ Halsey. You know, he moved to a team with more talent around him. He doesn't have to do all that. So. Same reason I expect Halsey's numbers to not be as good as they were last year, just because he's on a more talented team, you know.
Exactly.
Oladejo is a transfer.
Yes.
Sorry. From Cal, and he played well for Cal last year when he played, but I don't expect him to be a starter this year in UCLA. So I personally wouldn't be using a roster spot on someone that's going to be, you know, a backup player all year. He's probably someone you look at next season, in my opinion.
Right. Up next is USC. They've got a number of players to keep an eye on. Linebacker Gentry, linebacker Mason Cobb, safety Kalen Bullock. You've got defensive tackle Anthony Lucas and Bear Alexander, who transferred in from Georgia. You've got cornerback Damani Jackson, who is pegged as the next big thing at the position for them. And then you've got defensive end Torrey Foreman, who, depending on where you looked, was either number one or number two recruit overall in his class, right? A lot of high expectations. And it's just kind of not
done anything.
Fruition yet. Yeah. Now they had Tui Pulotu last year, who's now in the NFL. That, you know, he was ahead of him, which was big. But man, they don't. They could really use him because that's 13.5 sacks that they're losing. So they really need him to step up.
Yeah, they need him to play up to his billing, for sure.
And they lost their second leading pass rusher last year as well, Nick Figueroa. I think he had, what was it? He had 5.5 sacks. So you're losing 19 sacks from your pass rush from a year ago. You know, they invested a lot in Corey Foreman to try to keep him home, right? And now they need to see a little return on their investment. I'm sure he's getting the NIL deals and all this. So it almost feels like Justin Flo-ish, right? Now, I know Flo kind of got hurt and whatever, but that same high, super high recruit rank and nothing, right? Kind of just fell out there. Thoughts on the linebackers, Eric Gentry, Mason Cobb?
So Cobb's a transfer from Oklahoma State. Pretty sure he had 100+ tackles last year. I'm pretty sure he led Oklahoma State. I don't know that he'll get 100 tackles at USC. You know, Gentry's there. Gentry had 71. Shane Lee, who I think has transferred again, he was right there with Gentry at 71. So you're probably looking, I would guesstimate, like 80 to 85 for Cobb.
Cobb had 96 last year.
I just feel like Cobb has gone to a situation where, you know, he's gone from a defense that didn't have a ton of talent, you know, to a defense that has a lot more talent. So I don't know that, you know, the tackle numbers for him will be as high as they were last year. I mean, I think he has more tackles than Gentry, but, you know, asking him to get 100, I think that's going to be a bit much at USC. I think they're both rosterable. I mean, I think, you know, they both, you know,
Gentry's in a deep league, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. Do you know what Cobb's measurables are off the top of your head? I've seen like Gentry get talked about in NFL circles, just because how athletic he is. I think he needs to add some weight, but. I'm not sure what Cobb's size is.
He is, according to USC website, he is listed as 6 foot even, 235 pounds. So he's a little short. 235 is not bad, but he's a little on the shorter side.
Yeah, so you're probably looking at like strictly college production.
Yeah. Kalen Bullock's a little interesting.
Yeah, he's definitely an NFL talent.
Yeah, 48 tackles, 5 interceptions, took one to the house, 172 return yards on those 5 interceptions. So he's got home run ability, right? And if you're playing in leagues where it scores that return yardage, that's a big plus. That's kind of what you're looking for there. So I think if you need safety help, you definitely should go see if he's out there and available. Bear Alexander, he's supposed to be the next big thing, transferred from Georgia. I think his dad is out there with USC, so I think that kind of led to him going there. What do you think his role will be with them this year? Do you think he's going to see?
I think they're expecting him to start, or at least be in the rotation. They brought in
if it was him and Corey Foreman on one side, wasn't it?
Yeah, they brought in a lot of defensive line transfers this year, so they recognize they need that help. Excuse me.
Bless you.
I think he's going to be a part of that defensive line rotation. And if you're in a DTAC or required league, I definitely would be making sure he's rostered.
Yeah, I think they're, like you said, I think they're going to
mean, I think they were expecting him to be a big part of Georgia's defensive line before he transferred.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I think they were kind of shocked by that a little bit. And this next name we will have to double check here, Anthony Lucas, because I'm showing he's already. Oh, no, no, no. I'm sorry. So he is a transfer as well. I looked at this wrong. So he came from Texas A&M, right? So we, how much have we talked about Texas A&M and their superior draft classes with all this defense? At some point, it's fine to keep it coming in, right? But some of these players are going to get antsy and move, and I think maybe he's one of them. So he's one of them that you were talking about. They brought in a lot of defensive linemen. He's one that come over as well. And then Damani Jackson, he's supposed to be the superstar, right? Kind of
true do it all.
Yeah, so if you're in position-specific leagues, I would take a flyer on him. I think he's going to be athletic enough, smart enough, and they're going to rely on him to be a starter as well. So I think a position-specific leagues, he's definitely worth a look at. Then we get to Utah, right? We've got three linebackers and a safety. We've got Lander Barton, Lavani Dumani, Dumini. Cole Bishop is the safety. And then, I don't know how – Kareem Reed, is that the last one? So Barton's the big name, right?
Well, he might be the big name. He wasn't their leading tackler at linebacker. That would have been Reed last year. Barton was third leading tackler at linebacker. Reed and Diabati were hired above him. Cole Bishop was the leading tackler last year with 83 tackles. And then Reed had 72, Diabati had 58, and Lander Barton had 46. Now, Barton was a true freshman last year. So maybe he steps into Diabati's role, and he moves up and increases his tackles.
Yeah, I could see that. I think he's the next man up for the Utes, who lost quite a few players to the draft last year. You talked about Diabate. He already making plays for the Cleveland Browns this preseason. He's one that's gone. They lost Clark Phillips III, who was a huge playmaker for them. He had six interceptions last year, six pass breakups. So he's gone. I like Barton. I think he's got to get over the 50-60 tackle mark this year, I would imagine, which is not that many, but considering,
I mean, they're a talented defense, so it's not like he's a one-man wrecking crew.
Right, and they've got pass rusher Van Billinger, who's had five and 5.5 sacks the last couple of years. He's come on as one of their more important pass rushers. So, I think him and Reed, as far as pass rush, those are going to be two of the top ones, right? And maybe mixing a little bit of Barton as well.
Yeah, Reed plays, I think, like an outside linebacker role. Not really an edge role, but outside, you know, a true outside linebacker.
Yes, agreed. Up next is the Washington Huskies. And they are getting a lot of praise this year, preseason praise, right? Of course, they've got the quarterback, Michael Penix, who shined for him last year. He transferred from, what was it, Indiana, I believe it was. Kind of put them on the map last year, which was huge for them because I watched some of those games. And he played well. When he was on, he was a really good quarterback for them. So they hope he can be that again. Defensively, though, they have a few pieces that we need to look at here. They have, of course, the big name. Linebacker Edifon Ulufoshio. They have defensive end Joe Moore, defensive end Braylon Trice, which is a name I think people should be looking at. They also have Zion Tuipulo-Fatui and linebacker Raylan Goforth. So they have some nice pieces defensively. Anybody standing out to you that you're wanting, or?
I mean, Trice is the one to me. You know, he kind of broke out last year. He is definitely, you know, being talked about like a top five edge in this upcoming NFL draft class. 39 tackles, yeah, 10 sacks last year.
Yep.
So he's the one for me. The question with ZTF and Ulofoshio is like they just can't stay healthy. Like, I'm pretty sure Ulofoshio is still not ready to play at the beginning of this year. And that, you know, and both of those guys were highly thought of NFL prospects. And I from an injury standpoint, like, they just haven't been on the field much.
Right. Ulofoshio, you're exactly right. Super talented, right? Can do everything you need. Really good player, 6'1", 235, a little on the smaller side, but he can do everything you need. But like you said, he can't stay healthy. He has played – this will be his sixth season, and not once has he played more than nine games.
He played the last three games of last season because of injury, because he was hurt. I think it was a knee injury. He played three games, and my understanding maybe is he's still not 100%.
Yeah. If healthy, I think you have to have him on your roster, but just know that in doing that, you're probably not going to – the odds are you're not going to get many starts out of him, right? So whenever he comes back and he looks healthy, that may be the time to play him, because who knows how much longer you'll have him before he gets injured again. But definitely a talented guy, I think. Trying to get back over to the page. I was looking at his stats and stuff there. Anybody else that stands out to you on our list here?
I mean, Goforth, to transfer from UFC. So, you know, I guess they just must not like Carson Bruner, right? I think because it seems like they always try to replace him. Last year was it Cam Bright, I think, they were trying to replace him with. And I don't know. I mean – I haven't watched a lot of Washington games, but I always feel like Bruner's pretty productive, but the coaching staff just doesn't like him. So I think go for someone to kind of keep an eye on there, see if he's going to start for them. Say he's a transfer over from USC.
Yep, I agree. And then our final team here is the Washington State Cougars. We have two names. Defensive end, Ron Stone Jr., and safety, Jaden Hicks. Stone is kind of a intriguing piece, I guess you could say.
I think he's just very reliable, right?
Yeah.
He gets you really good tackle numbers, couple sacks.
And I'm curious to what the drop-off was last year for him. Because if you go back to his junior year in 21 – 64 tackles, 11 and a half for a loss, 5 sacks, right? That was kind of his breakout season. A lot was expected of him last year, and he just kind of 34 tackles, 4 for a loss, and 2 sacks. So he had the drop-off. Now he's active in the past, right? Last 2 years he's had 3 pass deflections, so he's active there. He likes to get his hands up. But for some reason there was a big drop-off, because I had picked him up in a few leagues for – last year, right? I was like, okay, this could take
a step,
and it just never happened.
I wonder if, like, in the beginning of the year, maybe if he had some injuries that he was nursing, because it looks like his, from a tackle perspective, his production kind of really ramped up the back, you know, the last half of the year. You know, the first, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, he had 2, 4, 6, 7 tackles in 5 games. So, you know, he really ramped it up towards the end. So I'm almost wondering if he wasn't, you know, had some kind of injury.
Right. good size, right? 6'3", 246. So he's pretty good size, right? Can still add a little bit. I was trying to read here while you were talking. I was trying to see if there was something mentioned about an injury. It doesn't say anything right off about that. But, yeah, if he can get back to that 2021 stat line, I think he's a solid player. He's not a superstar, but he's somebody that you can plug in. You know, if you're missing one of your key guys or somebody gets hurt, I think you can plug him in. Now, if he's still like he was at last year, then I don't know that he's going to be that much of a valuable option. But I think he's a guy you put on your watch list. Right? You've kind of said that a time or two today. I think you put him on your watch list and kind of see how things go and go from there. And Jaden Hicks is our other one.
Yeah, he's a safety, 75 tackles last season. One sack, six pass defenses, one interception. I think, you know, that 75 tackles, that's kind of like right there to really good production, right? Like, you know, I think like you probably want to see like 80 plus from a safety. But he's right there. So I feel like he definitely should be rostered in your leagues. And there is some potential for that number to go up some, right? So they lost Deion Henley. So they lost him. Their next leading linebacker was Francisco Mwaga, who transferred to Miami. So, they're going to need folks to step up at linebacker. So I could see Hicks's numbers increasing slightly to get over that 80 number, just because of the loss of production at the linebacking from linebackers from last year. So, so Hicks is someone I like, you know, in IDP leagues.
Yeah, was named to the freshman All-American third team, so we got a little recognition for his season. 6'3", 212, so he's a big guy, right? To grow, redshirt sophomore, so you've got a little bit of control over him in IDP Devy still for another couple of years. So,
technically he could go to the NFL after this year. Yeah,
because he redshirted. That's crap. But if you – I guess it depends on what the evaluation is when that time comes. But
yeah.
75 tackles, if you can get that out of him again, and I think he'll be better than that, then, yeah, I think he's a piece that you can use, especially with the seven pass deflections. So player for them that they're going.
Yeah, I mean his first two games of the year he only had four tackles, so maybe he's a true freshman or as a redshirt freshman. I shouldn't say true freshman, redshirt freshman. So, I think him getting that 80 number is something he'll do this year.
Yep. That kind of does it for our Pac-12 breakdown. So last time, we think this will be the last time that we will talk about Pac-12.
It's the last time we talk about all these teams in the Pac-12. How about that?
That is true. That is true. It's going to be so weird next year seeing these teams scattered around. I'm really going to have to do my homework to remember where everybody's at. So, but hey, we kind of knew this was coming, right? The Super Conference thing. We kind of seen the writing on the wall. So. And I get it, right? You want to put the best teams against the best. You know, clearly that's why Texas and Oklahoma wanted to jump to the SEC. USC and UCLA and those guys wanting to go to the Big 12. They're wanting to play the best, right? And I think with some of the early movement, it was
became. They want the money, too.
Well, that's true. Very true. I think corrected. They do. They all do want the money, but I think they do want to play in these big conferences too. And I think that's kind of like I said, the writing was on the wall. And if you didn't get ahead of it and make your moves early, you're now look what you're at. You're kind of like some of these teams in the Pac-12. What do? We got left behind, and it's not over yet. I'm sure these schools will land somewhere and do something. But for sure. The landscape of college football as we know it, as far as the layout, the geography of it for the conferences will be changed forever. So excuse me. We will be back next week, and we're going to do the IDP preview for the AAC, Conference USA, and the Independents, right? So that's got Notre Dame in there. That may be a little larger group, but I don't know that we will discuss everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's a larger group team perspective, but unlike these other previews, we're not going to – there won't be a player for every team we talk about. So I think overall it'll be similar, maybe even less, right? Because you know, even these G5 schools, at most, you're probably only talking like maybe two players at some of these schools, right? Not like six, you know. But yeah, they definitely deserve to be mentioned.
Oh yeah, for sure. So yeah, please go rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts, right? Apple, Spotify, Google, Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever. Go check us out, iHeartRadio. Go check us out, subscribe, leave a review. You can leave a review on our IDP Nation webpage. There's a whole review tab. Drop us a review there. Let us know how good we are or what you want to hear. If you have ideas, drop them in there. Let us know. You can follow us on Twitter at DavyIDPGrind. You can follow me at Hollywood Titan. You can follow Justice at Justice_2318. Our YouTube page. Go over there. Rate, subscribe, and review. We are just started this here recently, and we're growing. We're up to 23 subscribers, so we're starting to take off a little bit, right? I looked at our Twitter page the other day. We're closing in on, I think it is 500, I believe I said. So we're starting to grow there. And it's because y'all like what we're doing, and we need you to help spread the word so we can grow and get into bigger areas and do more things. So we appreciate you all. Like I said, we'll be back. I think we're going to try to shoot for tomorrow, correct, Justice?
Yep.
Tomorrow night for the other one?
Tomorrow night.
So I know it's a little fast turnaround, but we're trying to squeeze these in. We got behind, so we're trying to squeeze these in real quick. And I think me and you have decided on when the season starts, we're going to do Mondays during the day. Try to join us on Mondays and give us questions and comments and all that good stuff. So be looking for us on Mondays going forward. And with that, we will, and of course my dog has decided that he wants to bark, but we'll see you tomorrow night, and we are –